Welcome to the Lessons Learned podcast, where I share stories of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. I'm your host, Dustin Fife, and thank you for joining me today. So today's story begins in 2004. Well, it actually begins a little bit earlier than that, quite a bit earlier than that, but I'm going to start in 2004. So I was serving as a missionary in the great land of Michigan in a place called Houghton Lake. Beautiful, beautiful area. And I had the chance to meet a woman by the name of Sharon. And she was a wonderful woman. Wonderful, wonderful woman. I remember that in this particular place, you know, in our congregation, nobody played the piano. And so, fortunately for us, the church was able to purchase a, I don't know whether what you call it, but we'll call it just a player piano. And basically with those pianos, what you do is it has a set of, you know, 300 or so programmable songs that you choose the song that you want, and all you have to do is you have to press one key and it will play the appropriate note. And so what you would do is you know, as long as you had the timing right, you just push one key at a time and the entire song would play. And so this woman, Sharon, would sit on the piano. That was her favorite thing to do. She just loved it. She'd just sit at the piano, and she would just sway back and forth and close her eyes and really get into it like she was Ray Charles or something, like she was actually playing the song, but all she was doing was just hitting that key, one key at a time, and letting the song play. And so we'd sit there in sacrament, and she would be jazzing it up on that piano, really getting into it, and she was just awesome. And, you know, the thing about Sharon was that she, 15 years before I met her, was diagnosed with cancer. And the doctors told her that she only had a couple months to live. And as she tells it, she said, "I refuse to go. I am not ready to die." And so, defying the laws of biology, she continued to live for up until the time that I met her, at least. We'll get to that point in a minute. And so, I don't know whether it was because of her cancer or not, but she had this strange allergic reaction to any sort of perfume. And when I was a brand new missionary, not knowing any better, I came into the congregation wearing my cologne, and she would start convulsing. And I just felt so bad for her, so we just kind of had a rule that nobody could go into the chapel wearing cologne. Anyway, so Sharon was a wonderful woman. Like I said, she had cancer, and that thing just sapped her strength, and yet it didn't seem to matter because nonstop she would be at the chapel helping set up chairs for the church meeting or helping take down chairs at the end or helping to dry dishes after somebody else washed them. She was just always doing things for other people despite the lack of energy that she had, and I found it so inspiring that this little old woman just would not give up in serving other people or in her fight against cancer. So anyway, I just grew to love this woman and how she served other people and how she served us and just blessed everybody with her optimism and the fight that she had. And after I left that area, I went on to serve in other areas in Michigan and went home, found my beautiful wife, married her, and decided as a kind of second honeymoon trip that we'd come back to visit Michigan. And in that time, I had found that her cancer had taken a turn for the worst. So she went to live with her daughter for a time in Texas and saw some of the doctors there. And they said, "You're not going to make this one. You know, things have gotten really bad. So take care of whatever you need to take care of because you've only got a couple weeks to live." And I don't know what about it that time convinced her, but Sharon decided, all right, this is it. She said, "I was born in Houghton Lake, Michigan, and I refuse to die anywhere but in Houghton Lake, Michigan." So she packed up her stuff, very, very weak, and went back to Michigan. And there was a wonderful couple, elderly couple, by the name of Chuck and Ruth, who also have since passed on. Wonderful people decided to take her into their home and provide the hospice care for her. And so Sharon, for the last couple days, weeks, I don't know how long it was, of her life, lived in the home of Chuck and Ruth. And luckily for me, when I came back to visit with the wife, it was only in the last few days of her life. And they told me, they said, Sharon's looking really bad. You know, she'd love to see you. And so I made a phone call to Chuck and Ruth, and I arrived just as the branch president. That's kind of the Mormon equivalent of a pastor of a small congregation. So he was leaving, and, you know, he reported to me that as he was talking to Sharon, you know, she just kept falling asleep, and she didn't seem excited at all that he was there. But as soon as he said that Elder Fife was coming, she just lit right up, and she said, "Send him in, send him in." And I thought that was wonderful. What a woman. And so, you know, I remember standing there in front of that door just not knowing what to do. And you don't know what to do, you know, especially if you've never had an experience like that, talking to somebody who is literally hours or days from death. What do you say? What do you do? I didn't know. So I stood in front of that door for I don't know how long, just saying a silent prayer, saying, you know, Heavenly Father, help me say what needs to be said to this woman. You know, help me give her peace or comfort as she, you know, wanders into eternity. And so finally I walked in, and, you know, it was just, you know, you see these things in movies, and you just, it was still shocking how gaunt she was. She was just hanging by life, just a sliver of the person that she was before, you know, bones showing through her skin and pale. And to be honest, I could not keep her awake, and I thought, what am I doing here? You know, so I started talking, you know, about the scriptures and about, you know, the doctrines that you're going to live again, you're going to see your loved ones again. And, you know, it seemed to have no effect. She just kept falling asleep, and I thought, what am I doing here? And I thought, you know, maybe I ought to just go home and say goodbye, you know, give her a chance to rest. And as I was about to leave, you know, a thought came into my mind that she doesn't need to hear doctrines. She knows the scriptures. She knows what's going to happen. She needs to know that she is loved, that somebody will miss her. And so I put my hand on her knee, and I said, Sharon, do you know how amazing you are? Do you know how much I love you? And I shared with her some of the favorite memories I had of her. And I told her about the impression that she made on me, that even with her health declining, even with as little energy as she had, that it so much impressed me that she had taken the time to serve other people and to live her life for other people. And I said, I know that God approves of what you've done. I know that he smiles down upon you, and he is anxious to welcome you back into his presence. And it was amazing that this woman who had been so lethargic, she'd just been falling asleep this entire time, when I told her that I loved her and how much she meant to me, all of that fatigue just left, and she just watched me and her eyes moistened. And she smiled, and with more energy and enthusiasm than I'd seen, she said, I love you too. And so, you know, I patted her knee and squeezed her hand and said what would be my final goodbye. And I left, and I got the call the next day that only a few hours after my visit, she passed away. And what a wonderful privilege for me to be perhaps the last person to actually have a conversation with her. And I later had the opportunity to talk to Ruth about it, and she said, I don't know why that woman refused to die. I don't know why. She was so wonderful. What was she afraid of? And I thought about that a lot. I don't know that she was afraid of death, really. I think what she was afraid of is that her death wouldn't matter to anybody. That she would leave this world having left no mark upon it. Let me tell you, Sharon, if you are listening somehow, you left your mark on me. You left your mark on everybody in Houghton Lake. They saw the struggle that you were going through, and they loved you for it. And I thought about that a lot, and I thought, you know, it would be a shame if the people that I know and love stubbornly clung to life like she did because they felt they didn't matter. I hope nobody who knows me and whom I love feels that way. My wife, my kids, my friends, my family. Let's not live like that, you know? Let's not live so that people wonder how we really feel. So my invitation to you is to go home, find those people you love, and make sure they know it. Leave no room for doubt. If you have to grab their shoulders and shake them a little and say, listen, I love you, and this is what you mean to me, then do it. Now go do some good. This has been the Lessons Learned Podcast. Thank you for joining me today. If you like this, be sure to subscribe to future podcasts, leave a sweet 5-star rating, or consider dropping a comment. See you next time.